Just arrived at your final destination. If it's raw, real, and unedited, I like it. Live from the bottom of my heart, this podcast is everything you've never expected. I'm going to sign my name across the airwaves by daring to be different. Muchos arigatos. The secret to my weight loss goes in three parts. One of those parts is what I ate every day, what I eat every day, what I swear by. It's Verda. It comes in three flavors: chocolate, vanilla, berry. Where do you buy it? My website, www.atreve-tiasintom.com. I've been eating this every day for 3 years. It changed my body. It changed my life. Verda. A variation for the word green. In Spanish, it's verde. In French, it's verd. In my language, it's weight loss.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Gosh, you're right on. You're a Leo. You must be a Leo. Good morning, Saskia.
Who told you? Who told you? Girl, it takes 3 hours just for me to get going and say, okay, I'm ready for the world. I'm ready.
I hear you. I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. It takes that long, right?
Well, when you're an overachiever, you have to, you lose quality of sleep. But I read in a post yesterday, go to sleep early, wake up early. So I guess it compensates. What time did you go to sleep last night?
Probably midnight.
Wow, that's not so early.
I don't go to bed early. By the time I get the kids in bed and then I do that, okay, the Leo in me comes out because I have to clean my house all over again.
Me too.
And then I wake up in the morning as if a whole lot happened and clean my house all over again. Like, seriously, I could have been on the phone with you 10 minutes ago. But I said, no, let me clean up the sink. I don't know who I think is coming here, but, you know.
Yeah, I always tell my son, let's leave the house clean for the robber so he knows how to get around quickly.
Yeah.
It's definitely a Leo trait. I think it's a form of control. But thank you, first of all, for coming onto the podcast and sharing some wonderful you with us. So whatever you say is heard by 80,000 iTunes subscribers.
All right.
Yep. So I know that you don't govern yourself by that anyway. Whatever you say, you stand behind. And that's why you're on this show, because I love you. Because you're authentic. So first thing, I saw what you sent me that Sam was doing. Saskia Madison is married to Sam Madison. And he was number what on the Dolphins?
He was number 29. I'm sorry.
Number 20. I should remember that. That's my birthday. Sam is doing some wonderful things. And I was wondering, Saskia, if you could tell me a little bit about that and maybe a website.
Sure.
Yeah, before we start talking about what it's like to be an NFL wife, which I can't wait to hear.
I know. So his new site is samspowerplayers.com. And basically, after Sam retired, he needed something to do. He's always been really good with kids in terms of instruction, in terms of training, you know, things of that nature, able to relate to them. And the same thing with other professional players. He was always very likable. He was that guy that showed up when we were with the Dolphins. I always say we, like I played on the team, but I think that's a wife thing. We say we. When he was playing with the Dolphins, he was always that guy that you could ask to show up to someone else's event. You know, right. The guys all have their own charities, or maybe they have community service projects that they're doing for a friend, and Sam would always show up. And so it was always very easy for us when I ran his foundation. And when we had events, I could get any number of guys to show up. They were always very happy to do it. So at the Dolphins, we had a really good experience. We had a very good experience with the guys.
Do they all, you said all of them had charities?
For the most part. I think when we started, it wasn't so common. Guys may have what they call a charity, but it's not exactly a 501c3. Like when I met Sam, Sam and I started dating in 99, the beginning of 99. He had Madison Avenue for Kids, but it wasn't a nonprofit. So during the course of us dating, I developed that into a 501c3 and everything, and, you know, created programs and whatnot. So now it was more than just, oh, we're going to have a toy drive and give away gifts for Christmas time. It turned into, how do we help change some lives?
Right.
So developing a program in conjunction with the Boys and Girls Club where, you know, every month we met with these kids, and it wasn't just, okay, you know, we showed up and we brought some clothes, or we showed up and we gave them a gift card. It was, how can we help get you ready for FCAT?
Right.
How can we teach you proper etiquette? Because believe me, Magda, many of us live in a bubble. You know, we live and work and play in the same area. So we don't go to the impoverished places within the state, or maybe even interact with other people that come from across the tracks. And these kids don't know, you know, the proper place settings, you know, in front of them. Hell, even a lot of adults don't know that.
That's right. That's right. I sit at many tables where they look a little lost, Saskia.
Truth be told. But, you know, we sat down. I had friends from Signature Grand. I had friends from the radio stations. You know, everywhere that all pitched in, Capitol Grill, that said, we want to help. And so literally had someone there to explain to them, this is the salad fork, or this is how you eat steak. This is how you eat spaghetti with a spoon. And the kids were blown away.
Sure, sure.
We had kids that had never heard, hear me when I say this, they're in the age range of 13 to 16, had never heard of King Tut.
Wow.
So when the King Tut museum exhibit came to Fort Lauderdale, I don't know if you remember that, we arranged for the kids to go, you know, and do the audio tour. And again, they were just blown away.
Sure.
Just blown away. But those are things that, you know, we felt were important. The kids don't need just money and just clothes. Those things are hugely important. But they also need someone to help kind of close the gap.
Yeah, they need time and dedication and investment.
Yeah, they're not just behind educationally and financially, but socially.
Oh, for sure. And even emotionally, Saskia, just not knowing how to pick up the right fork can be a little stressful emotionally on a child, even on an adult, like you said, which I see all the time, disgracefully. But yeah, the Boys and Girls Club being hands-on, going and helping, physically helping and seeing and interacting and engaging, that's really what it's about. Because and a celebrity athlete has so much pull, but the human part of Sam and you and what you did. And by the way, you can say you were with the Dolphins because you were. if he was, you were. I have a friend of mine. She's a Yankee wife, and she's a Yankee. I'm an accountant, and I never went to school for accounting. But the point is being hands-on and making a difference is what's commendable in both you and Sam. And I knew that from the moment I met you, that you were both very hands-on with your children. And that's a great example, because if you're a good parent, you're a good everything. So this, what he's doing now, is it benefiting anyone, or can we help, or?
So you asked in the beginning, excuse me, guys, what Power Players was. So after he retired, again, he had nothing to do. He started training young men high school age, mostly in sports and agility skills. He then developed a group. You know, there were other guys who were also retired or professional players that, you know, had time in the off season that would come in and help out and say, you know what, I want to be involved too. I love this. And so from there, it grew from training individuals to now they're doing 7-on-7 camps. Now they're doing football camps in conjunction with the Dolphins and Dolphins Academy.
Amazing.
It just grew. And he also trains professional athletes in between teams.
Sure.
You know, say a gentleman gets cut and he's trying to get ready for the next team and hopefully get picked up. He trains for that. So from that, it's grown. And now power players allows them to really focus on what your needs are, how they can best meet them, whether it's through not just the sports and agility, but maybe there are some medical concerns as well. What are the best drills? What's the best equipment? Just about everything. They cover everything. But he just finished up in the last few weeks. They had 3 different football camps and 7-on-7 games, IMG through IMG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. And you mentioned, did you say Capital Grill joined?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Goodness.
Capital Grill was a great partner with our foundation.
Yeah, Goodness quickly becomes an epidemic. Okay, so that's great. So Sam's doing that. And locally, where is that locally, though, the camps?
They actually come to where you are. He's in talks with a lot of the different mayors, the different cities, and so they literally open up their parks.
Right.
So, like, the last few 7-on-7 camps were held at Bamford Complex, which is over here in Broward,
mm-hmm.
Pine Island and Orange. And the 7-on-7 camp was held there. Also, one of the partners is Chris Chambers through the
mm-hmm.
Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
His facility is on State Road 84, and so part of the training is done there as well.
Wow, so if there's aspiring football players here in Miami that want to get picked up, they would go over there, or maybe we should start talking to mayors here?
Yes. Actually, he just met with...
Regalado.
I'll just say one of the mayors in Miami.
Is it Thomas Regalado?
No, it is
one of those.
Miami Beach.
No way. He's actually a really good friend of a friend of mine. Yeah.
So they're looking at expanding this and opening it up because they do understand not everyone can get to a certain part of town, so why not bring it to you?
Right.
It's just easier that way. And the guys love it. I mean, so many ex-professional players that get involved that have signed on board, and they love what they do. And I got to tell you, Magda, I am not a fan of standing out in the hot weather.
Right.
And watching the football camp and watching practice. It's hard enough. Like, we watch our son play football, and it's brutal. But I've gone out to the camp, and I've seen some of these kids that don't listen to anyone else, who you would think was a difficult child to teach,
mm-hmm.
Not just in a classroom, but outside of that. Maybe doesn't listen to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to these guys like to the trainers. They listen to these guys like whatever they're saying is golden.
That's beautiful.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see. Like, they really take everything they say to heart.
That's beautiful. Because, I mean, sometimes children don't have a home where they have guidance and discipline and desire to better themselves. So the fact that they can find that on the football field or through a sport is a blessing.
Yeah.
And I love Sam even more now. Okay, so, okay, great. If there's anyone listening that can help... Sam Madison, spread goodness. Please call or do what, Saskia? Where do they go?
Hold on. You go to his website, and there's a phone number, there's an email, there's everything on there, but it's Sam's, S-A-M like Mary, S, powerplayers.com.
Great, because...
And you can also register for the camps online. Everything is online.
Yeah, that's another thing. There's a lot of people that don't... That this is like a new concept. I mean, he is a dolphin. This is a football player helping aspiring football players. So that's beautiful. I think that's great.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of him. So tell me the juicy parts and the not so juicy parts of being an NFL wife.
You know, when you asked me to do this, I didn't think too much about it. I said, okay, you know, sure. I'll tell you everything. And this morning I woke up and I thought, it's so different. You know, if you ask an NFL wife this question when they're in it, you'll get a completely different answer from now. Here we are, 6 years into retirement.
Right.
Very, very different. And actually, the NFL wife who's been married 5 or 6 years, because now you're considered a veteran. You know, now you know everything.
you've been through the war.
And the comment is, oh, I'm not just a girlfriend. You know, like, but you really try to mentor to the rookies, the wives that are coming in, the girlfriends that are coming in, because everybody's a girlfriend in the beginning.
Right.
I remember, gosh, Sam's closest friends, whether it was Patrick or Rondé or Sean, I remember when we were all just dating, you know, and life was so easy. It was very easy in the sense that we could just pick up and go. I had a career at the time that allowed me to, you know, I could take off on weekends. I could have long weekends. My holidays, I had long breaks. So I was actually living in Texas, and Sam and I were commuting to see each other. We started dating after his second year in the NFL, and it was all just so new to me. And granted, I went to Florida State. I knew a lot of athletes. But it was always very different with him from the very beginning. Very sweet, very atypical, in the sense that I did not have to deal with a lot of issues that athletes are stereotyped with. You know, that the heavy partying, you know, or multiple women, you know, all of those things I didn't have to deal with, and I just felt comfortable from the very beginning, like I had a good guy.
Good.
Always felt like I had a good guy. Now, that's not to say that he, you know, he's a guy.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's a guy. But I think it takes, if you're going to marry into this business, you have to go into it with your eyes open. You have to know it is a challenge. You can't be offended when you go to events and, you know, women are wanting to take pictures or they're wanting to, you know, hang on to his arm, you know, as they're speaking to you. You almost have to just separate yourself from that, because that's part of it. When you go to an event where the player is being asked to do autographs or to speak or whatever, the people came to see him.
Right.
They came to see the players. And so you have to let go of the ego a little bit and say, all right, you know, he's mine, but not right now.
No, and that's part of his job. I mean, as long as there's trust and a healthy relationship, and mm-hmm. you know,
it's part of his job. But you and I get that, and a lot of girls don't get that going in. You know, it was cool in that I would get women that wanted to take pictures, or men, whatever, and they're so sweet when they see you standing, you know, there with him. They're like, "Do you mind? Is it okay?" And that's awesome. And you say, "You know what? Go ahead. Please, do you want me to take the picture?
Yeah, let me help you out." Yeah.
The tough part is when you're out and you're on a private dinner, or it's not an appropriate time.
Right.
Those things, or people trying to photograph you with your child. That's when you kind of cross the line. You know, they cross the line. But in the beginning, it's all so new and exciting, and you know, it's the away games and your best friends. You have best friends outside of the game, the civilians, the people that don't play. But your best friends almost become those women that you see every week.
Sure.
Because there are things that only you can relate to. You can't call your girlfriend from high school and say, oh my God, it's just so hard. There's so much to do. The mail, the, you know, all the things I have to do and managing this household and going back and forth from, you know, New Jersey to Florida. People don't want to hear that. People have, like, real problems. So your problems are not the same as the average Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up forming a separate set of friends, people that kind of get what you're talking about and people that you can divulge, you know, certain things to that you do kind of keep up appearances sometimes. You know, when things are wrong or, you know, there's something going on with the team or issues that you and your partner have with each other.
Right.
You can't tell that to everybody else. People are dying to share your information with the media,
sure,
or with their friends and gossip. So you kind of keep all that stuff in-house. So your friends change for a while. It's really exciting in the sense that you have events every single week. You get to travel not just all over the country, but my gosh, you know, the NFL has opened up things over in London now.
Wow.
Trying to introduce Europe to the NFL. So you get to travel to those places. Hawaii, we've been so many times to Hawaii for Pro Bowl. So in that sense, it's very exciting. You get to meet, my gosh, every athlete you can imagine. And after a couple of years, that becomes your normal life.
Right.
If you're still in it. So now you don't see your football player star husband as a star. You see him as the guy that takes the garbage out.
Right.
He's the guy that takes the kids to school on the days on his off day.
Mm.
You know, whereas everyone else sees him as, oh my God, you know, that's Sam. And you're thinking, yeah, that's great, but
that's my husband.
I need him to take care of such and such.
Yeah.
You know,
he's my partner.
And it's the same thing with all the other athletes. You know, people will say, oh my gosh, you got to meet this person. And you don't even have that same reaction anymore because now that is normal for you. And you almost kind of have to remember what it's like for the person that doesn't see that every day,
mm-hmm,
and doesn't experience that every day. This is, that's new and that's awesome. And it almost reminds you how incredible your life is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your life is incredible. And it's just become normal for you.
Wow. Yeah, being able to separate stardom and celebrity from everyday, mm-hmm, reality is, I would love to know statistically how many NFL marriages survive after they're no longer in the NFL. You, yeah.
I can tell you the divorce rate is 80%.
Wow.
It's 80%. We know this because we... the NFL has programs in place. Actually, it's the NFLPA, the Players Association. So they really do. They have lots of services in place to really try to help the family as a unit. I think, unfortunately, when you're playing, a lot of these programs you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're quick to remind you about, you know, what to do when you're pregnant and... making sure your baby's healthy, you know, those aspects of your insurance plan. But we actually have counseling available.
Mm-hmm.
There's counseling available, you know, for the family or the individual, for just the, whatever. And then as a unit, the Players Association really reaches out to you and says, okay, this is what we're looking at statistically. How can we help you? How can we help further your education? Because a lot of guys don't necessarily finish school. They go straight into the draft, and perhaps they had one more year left or a semester. the NFL has programs where you can go back to school and get the degree that you desire. They really do have things in place to kind of help you after football, because it's a huge transition. It's not just the divorce rate.
It's
the rate of depression.
Oh, for sure. I mean, think about it. You were huge. You were this, and now you're done.
Yeah. There's the injuries. Some injuries, you know, might leave you, you know, with a bad knee for the rest of your life, where you just hobble a little bit. Maybe you're, like, slow to come down the stairs. And then there's injuries that lead to dementia before you're 50.
Wow.
So, yes, ma'am.
I didn't even think about the dementia and head trauma. Mm.
Oh, Magda, it's bad. It's really bad. And so you've got all of these things going on immediately after retirement. The biggest thing, I would say, the depression, of course, is what kind of leads to the divorce rate.
I think I should introduce my life coaching services to the NFL.
You could.
No, I'm not kidding. Seriously. I mean, depression is rampant. It's rampant, and people don't recognize it, and they don't do anything about it, and they just kind of exist with it, and leads to all kinds of tragedies.
When you think about it, an individual has been a star, not since he got drafted. You're talking about boys that have been stars since middle school, going into high school.
Right, right.
They've always been catered to.
Right.
There's always been, and I'm not saying every single player is the same. I'm not saying every single player has had this experience, because you're going to get listeners that, you know, I'm generalizing here. But you've got guys that have been catered to and put on a pedestal for so long. Let me tell you, when you retire, if you don't have some type of link or connection to the game, I can't even put it into word. It's like a major withdrawal they go through. And I thank God that when Sam retired, he was still very active with the Dolphins alumni.
Right.
He had the training to keep him busy. He had all of these things. And a lot of guys just kind of, you know, you get cut, and that's it. You have not formed a network. There's nothing to keep you busy. Maybe you decide to go back to school, and that would be a plus. You know, that would keep him busy. But for Sam, he's got the training, so he still feels like an athlete. He still looks like an athlete.
Yeah, yeah. Sam's muscle retention is very visible.
It's nauseating. He has, like, no body fat.
Yeah.
It's nauseating.
Yeah. He's a hero. He's definitely a hero.
And then because he also works for the Dolphins radio station, he has that tie, you know, as well as being part of the alumni. So he's very much still part of the game.
Yeah, but that's his character, though, Saskia. He must have nurtured these relationships and these activities throughout his NFL career. Right. And most people are just focused on themselves instead of life, which makes it just so much better and bigger when you focus on other things other than yourself. And that's Sam. I know this because I like Sam, and I know Sam, that he has this in his personality. He steps outside of himself and does things for others. And this is maybe something that saved his own life, because what you're saying is pretty much synonymous to they lose a part of their lives. It's just done.
It's almost like recreating their identity.
Yeah.
If you're not able to continue that, who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
And so that contributes to it. So, yes, depression and the divorce rate are high after the game. I would say higher than the actual divorce rate for, you know, the general population.
Yeah, well, for sure. For sure. For sure.
But we do what we can, you know. Like I said in the beginning, I knew I had a good person.
Mm.
I knew I had a good person in the beginning. We are very different. Very different individuals. And we managed to make it work.
Yeah, but fundamentally, you guys are very much alike. I can say that because I know you, and I didn't just meet you on air. You guys have very high principles, high morals, good work ethic, and some wonderful children. And I think that that's a criteria for a winning mix, no matter how hard everyday life gets, because marriage is a battle.
Definitely.
I congratulate you both. So tell me about how would you feel, because you didn't go through being a wife when there was social media.
Right. Mm.
Just curious, how do you think that would have affected your life? Because I fully understand what you're saying about people wanting to touch him and stand next to him, and you know, and you're confident and you trust him. But the social media, how would that have affected
I gotta tell you, for us, I don't think it would have affected us so much, because literally when he went out, I went out.
Right.
Like we were always together. Sam, to this day, if he goes to something again, aside from the football camp, because I don't want to stand in the hot sun. Mm-hmm. When he goes to something, people say, "Where's Seth?"
Right.
So it's we're always together. For the things, the events that he would go to solo, I mean, I think if I were to see pictures, and such, because I knew where he was, it would all make sense to me. You know, if it was a night he says, you know, "Hey, I'm going to meet so and so at the cigar bar, but I'm getting photos of you at Club Bed down in South Beach," that's a different story.
Right.
That's a different story. But, us not so much. He is totally a homebody. Like, Sam is...
Yeah, he's the coolest.
You know, he just had a birthday, just went out with his friends. That's the first time in God knows when. He goes to work, he comes home.
Yeah, he's something else. He's something else. Mm-hmm. Just, this year I was in where I was in Puerto Rico, and I saw a young athlete. He was photographed, and his girlfriend was in, I guess, their home state, and she saw the picture, and he was yelling and she was yelling, and I was saying, wow, this is over a photograph that might be misinterpreted, because, you know, pictures can be. I got to be honest with you. I saw the photograph. He looked guilty, really guilty. But a picture can be misinterpreted. So I think, wow, how could this affect, you know, celebrities and athletes and their spouses and their marriages? And
right.
You really have to have a very strong connection with your spouse or partner, or, you know, to endure this, because it's not easy. I was married to a professional, so there were no pictures. But... It's an element that I'm just so curious. I'm going to speak to a Major League Baseball wife on the podcast, but I want to speak to someone who's in it now and ask that question. I think the social media is an element that you and I can't right. possibly fathom. So,
you know, well, they did have telephones. telephones did exist. And let me tell you, I had my share of that. But you really have to think. You have to sit and think. I became, I'm a pharmacist by trade. Mm-hmm. And when we started having kids, I was home. I was running a foundation. But again, I don't know how to do one thing. So I got my real estate license. And I can't begin to tell you. I joined with a company, broker's office, and they did a write-up on me. Magda, like clockwork, I started getting crank phone calls.
Wow.
And like every day it was a different person. And I thought, you really have to sit back and think, could he possibly be
right.
cheating with that many people
right.
at the same time? And how does he do it in the 20 minutes it takes him to get from work to home? And, like, it was just so ridiculous. But the company did a write-up on me. And of course, as a realtor, you know, on our cards, we put our cell phones. And so all of that information was on the web, and it all started right then. So I can imagine that there are really malicious people out there. It's a shame because maybe some people do it thinking it's funny. I know in a lot of cases sometimes the calls are true from people.
Right.
I'm not going to lie, there's a lot of things going on the team. But to do something like that on purpose in order to break up a family, to be cruel, to create stress and tension in a home just for fun is just nasty. And so I can only imagine if social media existed then, I'm sure girls would try to create a nice photo, you know, or whatever. Or say you have people at your home for a party.
Right.
And they take photos of your bedroom. Listen, ladies who are on, you got to think. Someone goes, takes photos of your bedroom. You think nothing of it because you didn't see them do it. And then fast forward a few months later, oh, yeah, I was in such and such's bedroom, da-da-da-da, while his wife was at work.
I'll tell you.
They get really, really creative. And that's, I got to tell you, like, we used to throw a lot of parties. I did not like strangers in my house.
No, I bet.
It had to be someone that we knew. And always, our bedroom door was locked. You know, so having the experience of, you know, friends that have gone through things, you learn from that, and you know kind of what to not do and what to stay away from.
Yeah. Oh, no, you definitely start behaving in a different way to protect your family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to have a party or a dinner or public events, but still maintaining a distance to protect yourself, self-preservation, is something that I'm sure you guys have had to learn and still probably use. But the phone calls you're describing and stuff like that. I mean, that I was cheated on. I actually did get phone calls like that, and they were actually true. And I ignored them, and but what you're saying is that somebody just might wake up and say, let me see if I can cause a tragedy when there isn't a tragedy.
Yep.
is something I never even considered. You know, I went to the Keys this weekend by myself. It was something that I wanted to do because I hate to eat by myself. And I went to eat by myself, and some stranger, a man, walks up to me and starts, you know, trying to do what men do. And I said, oh, thank you. And I just turned around, and Saskia, I was nice, but I was short. I was like, you know, just leave me alone. I was reading and writing and very much into my work. And he wouldn't leave me alone. And he kept, you know, and then finally I turned around and I was rude. And he did go away. But it's that same issue that I believe that people just intrude. I don't know. They have no boundaries. They just go ahead and, okay, I'm going to mess with you.
Have boundaries.
They don't have them. They don't have.
A lot of people don't have boundaries.
That's just crazy. There's no respect. There's no respect. So tell me about you and your exercise and your running and all of that. I know you ran the Miami Marathon. Congrats.
Thank you. You know, it's so funny how your life just turns in all these different directions, and you thought you were going straight ahead, but you've got all these little side turns, you know. In the course of us, you know, we've got three children. The youngest one is 4. And I thought that I would have gone back to work, you know, maybe not full-time, but part-time by now. Work outside of the house. Inside the home, you know, I still do a little bit of real estate just for close friends. I started training for half marathons on behalf of CCFA, which is the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. I always helped the foundation by participating, and they have another event called the Take Steps Walk. And the Take Steps Walk, you know, you basically, you go out, you raise money, you have to get sponsors, whether it's friends, families, or friends, family, or companies to sponsor your walk. And it's all about raising awareness for the diseases, Crohn's and colitis. I have both diseases. I was diagnosed in my 20s, and for years, nobody knew that I had it. I just didn't talk about it. And quite honestly, most patients that have either disease or both, like myself, do not talk about it. These are diseases that attack literally your bowels, so your intestines are inflamed, and in some cases, you'll meet people that have had surgery and had to remove part or all of their intestines. So currently there's a campaign going on to raise awareness for individuals that have a stoma or a pouch as a result of having their intestines removed, because we find that shock value
right
gets attention, and that's what gets people talking, and they say, oh wow, yeah, I know all about that disease. So we're really trying to raise awareness as well as funds for the research. So a lot of the running and the walking and the fundraising I do is for that. Since that time, I have become a board member for the South Florida chapter, and I've run in Napa twice. I've done the Palm Beach run, the Miami run with you.
Yeah.
And every time, it's all about talking to as many people as you can and getting them to understand. And I've got to tell you, I was always very private about it. I'm very, how do I say this? Okay. This is almost like purging.
Purge away.
So as part of my controlling personality, the last thing I needed was people feeling sorry for me or thinking that I wasn't strong. A lot of people view me as having a strong personality, and I do, and that I can handle everything, that I've got everything under control. And the truth is, when you have these diseases, there are times that you have no control over anything physically or mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to start talking about it. I did it literally just for the sake of the foundation, not for myself. I started talking about it. I spoke at one of their half marathon races in Napa, and the response I got was so overwhelming that I knew I had to keep talking. And as I fundraised, as I spoke to people, I meet at least one person, or I'm told every day of another individual that has Crohn's or colitis that I know.
Also, isn't this when you created your blog?
I created the blog immediately after the Napa run because I had so many people that were like, well, what are you doing? What are you eating? What's working for you?
And where can people read that blog?
So my blog, the name is Crohn's is a Pain. So that's Crohn's is a Pain.com. And you'll get a taste of how my journey started. There's an About Me page. There's a, you know, why are we even here? Why am I even doing this? And then I don't blog every day. It's more like bimonthly.
Mm-hmm.
I have different pieces on there. Like the one I'm working on right now is probiotics. In a lot of cases, just in general, you know, people should use probiotics.
For sure.
But probiotics have been huge in terms of the IBD community. And 10 years ago, nobody knew what they were.
Right.
Or how they worked or what they did. And so now more people are using them, but they're not really using it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And part of that problem is it's not something that has been hasn't gone through the clinical trials that the FDA does. It's still considered a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's only one that has undergone all of those things, and it's the VSL-3. But so that's my next post. But I write about just what it feels like to be lost, and when you're going through a flare, how frustrating it can be, not just for you, but for the people that are around you, because they want to help you, but they don't know what to say.
Right.
They don't know what to do, and you want the help, but you're frustrated. So it, all of those pieces are on there. You know, a great smoothie to drink when you can't eat solid food. I write about just about everything.
Well, that's a big service that you're giving people that don't have resources to better help themselves. So that's commendable, and that's very... that's a step ahead, because the probiotics is new. It's really new. So the fact that you're using your blog and your words and your marathon running to communicate on how to better help yourself is giving. Saskia, you should be very proud of yourself. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I started it for those runners, those patients that I saw out there really trying to empower themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really kind of grown. I have people that don't necessarily have Crohn's or colitis that follow, and, you know, maybe they'll just like the information, because some of the information can apply to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the Crohn's and colitis community in particular, it's difficult, Magda. Like, there are... let's take myself, for example. I don't just run half marathons and 5Ks. I also teach spinning.
Mm-hmm.
I also teach insanity, Shanti's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You need a tremendous amount of energy be able to teach those classes.
That's right.
I think you know that, because mm-hmm. you teach spinning as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hard to do that when you can't eat solid foods because your body is flared up.
Mm-hmm.
So... those are also things that I write about. Like, for our athletes, for our runners with the charity, how do you fuel your body with this disease? Because you can't eat a bagel.
Right.
A nice big sandwich. Things like that. So all of those things I put on there.
It's an amazing service that you're doing, Saskia, because when we don't know, we're hearing technical difficulty because there's something going on with my mic. But just keep talking. It'll die in 2 seconds. The when we're lost in a library, we go to the computer and we look for help. When we're at Saks Fifth Avenue and we don't know where the right shoes are, we ask for help. So the fact that you're offering this help to potential new marathon runners or new spinners or people that are trying to get healthy with these diseases is amazing. And it's actually, you're like a pioneer. You're like a pioneer. So keep pioneering, because we need more people like you. In any case, when can we have breakfast again?
As soon as possible. I do need childcare though, so.
Oh yeah. They're out of school already?
No. Summer's around the corner, but, oh my gosh, summer is around the corner, and it won't be so difficult, but it's tough. My kids get out at like 2:00. Kel's, his school, he's home at like 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're able to get a little more done, but the first one is out at 2:00, and then it's a race to get the next one, then the next, and there's gymnastics, dance, all that other stuff. So whatever I need to do in terms of work or training, breakfast has to be done before that time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Well, okay. Well, you want to run another marathon? We could do that. If that's the only way I can see you.
Breakfast sounds easier.
Yeah, it sounds a lot less cumbersome. But I mean, as long as I get to see you, because you're an amazing human being, and so is Sam, and I love you guys. And thank you
so much, you too.
For being my first NFL podcast. I think you're an amazing human being. So I will be in touch later on today, and... I love you. Thank you.
Love you too.
All right.
A great day.
Bye.
Bye.
I got him. I got my favorite sponsor. They're all my favorite sponsor, but this one's open for life. I'm so fresh to death. Here in the 305, there's a place called Hugo Fresh, where we drink mad juice. They've got the right medicina for you. It's where the vida is. Homegrown, local love, community members, and just downright outrageous. They're paddleboarders. They're yogis. They're very LA, very New York, and now they're my sponsors with various locations throughout South Florida. www.hugofresh.com. They're open for life.